W8FU. Happy Friday Eve. Uh-huh. I see. Nice, cool, breezy day. Got the window and the door wall wide open. Clearing out the man cave, I guess. But it's not a cave. This is really, really nice right now. Nice fresh air. Everything's looking good.
Yeah, I noticed on the way in, trees were really getting pushed around a little bit. It's quite breezy. Although I'm driving here along 16 mile right now and it seems very calm, so it was just while I was running up the Quinner. So, yeah, now I'm looking over in the golf course here, it looks kind of gusty.
As I'm standing here in my bedroom window, you can probably hear the wind noise, and it's blowing through the forest here pretty good. And as also as I'm telling you, I got this one cottonwood tree right off of my balcony here, and I'm actually hearing it creaking in the wind, which is not a good sign because this thing's going to probably snap and break off one day and come right down on the power lines and the pole.
Well, that's excitement. So that's what you want. A little snap of the power lines, lose your food in the refrigerator. Sweat your butt off. There's no air conditioning. Oh, man. Nothing like a good power outage.
Well, we had that here just to the left of my balcony. Tree came down in the field, not on our proper side of the fence. Took down the power lines, phone line, and cable line. Caused a fire. And it was so bad that it took them 3 days to get the power back on, but it took over a week to get the internet back on because they had to replace all the wiring from the master pole behind the shawarma restaurant there and sign building. And they had to run cable down the back of the property, five out of six telephone poles. They had to run all new Xfinity cable. And in our building, they had to run cable into our building because all that stuff just melted.
That's what I'm talking about, man. Stuff. We had that power outage, I think last Saturday. I think it was. I'm not sure. But recently, anyhow, I was on my way home from El Charo's with food. I got to the light there at 12 in the Quinner. I noticed the lights were on. I said, wonder if the lights are out at home. Sure enough, when I got home, they were out. So I was like, yeah, I get to try my new generator out. So ran the new generator for a couple, 3 hours. I was going to call you, see if your power was out. But I thought I saw things down your way all lit up. So I don't think you lost power on that day.
Well, a week ago, this past Saturday was the last time I was at breakfast with you. So it was that afternoon, and I did not lose power. It's funny like that, because sometimes you think with the city and county lines between us, it would be that way. But it was also a case where we had power, but the strip mall where Marco's is and the Starbucks is, Marco's and Starbucks are in the same exact building. They both lost power, but nowhere else in the strip mall, not even Kroger's, lost power when we last lost power. So if you watch the DTE grid, sometimes those patterns do cross city and county lines. Kind of weird.
Yeah, mine mostly stays on my side of 12 and my side of the Quinner, but when 12 and the Quinner is out, I'm out generally. The circuit that feeds all those stores over there, is we're on the end of it. It's like it did all that stuff there and then came down our street. But the subdivision's off a different feed, which is coming from a different area. I think ours comes straight down 12 Mile Road and then up and over to me, whereas I think the subdivision, it cuts in somewhere around 12 and Ryan, it comes in, powers the whole sub. The whole substation is at 12 and Ryan. So it all depends, you know, where it breaks, obviously, but we seem to be on the circuit with the businesses as opposed to the subdivision. There's a lot of times where, you know, we'll have power, and for the longest time, ours was more reliable than the subdivision. And the whole sub would be out, you know, but then you get to our street, head out to the Quinter, and it'd be all lit. It's like, sorry.
What do you think with a campus this size that I'm designed in? Sometimes we have issues where just one of the buildings goes out, two of the buildings go out. Sometimes just one myself would go out, because this is the oldest building with the oldest wiring in it. And when these this power line issue happened a few years back, we actually fried wires, and ATE had to put in a new big green box in the back of the building and run cable underground, and then they had to wire that new green box into our electrical system housed on the main floor next to the elevators. There's a room called the electrical room, and there's all new boxes in there and everything. So when that tree fell, it caused a lot of problems for us for, like I said, at least 8 days. And then they had to come back and shut it down for another 2 days, almost a year later, to finish up some work. We had no power for about a day and a half, almost 2 days on that one. But yeah, that was the biggest one I've seen in the time that I've been here.
Well, let's see here. I'm a little behind schedule because I was going to meet somebody down in the South End this morning, but then I decided not to because I start early. Well, it just would have been, I would have been sitting there twiddling my thumbs for quite a while. So I said, you know what, we'll catch this a different way. So I'm running late because I was hanging down there a little bit. And I don't know whether I want to stop for coffee and be 10 minutes late, potentially, or go straight to the shop and be maybe a minute late. What should I do?
Flip a coin. What's more important? The time you punch in? In a way, because I know it's your salary, but the time you punch in or your need for coffee. Flip a coin.
Well, my need for coffee has won the day, so there it is. Anywho, okay. Let's see how the line is. Ah, the line's not too bad. Shouldn't hold me up more than a couple of minutes. Ooh, wait. Yeah, line's not great. And I think a couple people are looking to get ahead of me here. Oh, well. Here's what it is. I'm committed now.
Well, as long as you don't stay long at the window and talk to the cute barista, you'll only be a minute late. But if you talk to her, I'll write you a note from Epstein's mom with an excuse saying why you're late that you can turn into your higher-ups.
Hey, now, don't go accusing me of being presidential here. This girl's, she's young, but she's legal.
Oh, no, never. I mean, I know you're a man of good stature in the community and in the county and in the radio world, and you're not going to do anything to jeopardize your reputation over a cute barista, that's for sure.
You almost sound sarcastic there. I don't like that. Anyhow. Yeah. Well, here we are. I'm going to turn it down so nobody can embarrass me when I pull up there and order.
Well, I will apologize if it came out that way, but it wasn't meant to be. And, yeah, so, but, I apologize if it came out wrong.
Sounds like a dude today.
Well, I was going to sing Aerosmith's "Dude Looks Like a Lady," but I don't want to pop. I don't want to pop or burst the bubble.
And singing is expressly prohibited in amateur radio.
Well, I've got two strikes against me on my last two transmissions, so I will step aside. I will let you get your day started, and don't blow away in the wind, that's for sure. And just be careful if you're on the road. Catch up with you later, W8RCY.
Well, he wasn't cute at all. WDAKLO.
WAPD Mobile.
KF8DRC from WD8KLO. KF8DRC from WD8KLO. Nothing heard, WD8KLO clear.
Check it, it's still the three of us, and the percentages keep changing from like 33.2 to 33.3, anyhow, the website's calculating the, doing the division. But the other, there's a bunch of others that applied, and they're all dismissed now, too, either for being too late and things like that.
So we're down to three, or stuck at three? Stuck at three, I guess, is a better statement.
Yep. Tuesday, I think, is the day.
Well, there you go. So hopefully by then you'll be the official WAPR. That'd be cool.
Yeah, well, we will see. I just, no use speculating. It's going to be what it is, whatever.
I agree. So, and I don't think there's any rhyme or reason to it. I just think it's a random number generator, and that's, what's the cliche? It is what it is.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. I really hope an actual human looks at it and says, yeah, this guy deserves it better more than the others.
Yeah. Let's hope so. I just think the days of human intervention and common sense and all the other stuff is gone bye-bye, you know, because what means something to us doesn't necessarily mean anything to the person that has the job, you know. I mean, it's like Sean's place of work, you know, some of them, you know, to them it's a job, you know, the fireman, you know, some of them, my son-in-law, that way, he's that way, to him it's a job. Comes 7 o'clock the next morning, he goes home, yeah, that was fun, see you in 24 hours type thing, you know, and other people, it's a career, so I think that's happening a lot with, you know, all sorts of aspects of life lately, you know, it used to be you did what you liked, and now you do what you do and go home, you know, the old Fred Flintstone whistle, yabba dabba doo.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think you gotta at least like what you do. Otherwise, what's the point?
I agree. And all my life, I wanted to sell equipment and automotive equipment. And I've always liked it. I've done it since I was in my mid-20s, and I started off in a tool truck. So it was all cool, it was all fun, it was all whatever. I just can't believe this spam calls I get. Hold on, I'm going to dump this one. I've tried so many things to stop this, and I'll bet you I get between 30 and 50 a day. It is unbelievable how many I get. And I have a good idea how it all started, but I can't prove it.
Right. I'll try something here. Compare this signal, RF and audio with, hold on, with this one, testing 1, 2. What do you like better?
I've got some popcorn in my end because I'm in my subdivision and I'm on the Richmond repeater, so it's not as well, but I like number one.
Okay, well, this is my ICOM. The other one was the Kenwood on my repeater.
Yeah, the Kenwood sounded just a little bit more distant. Other than that, everything else sounded the same. So, you know, and for me to carry on a long Q-cell with somebody, it has to be easy because I get frustrated if I have to study to hear something.
Okay, I'm on Warren now.
your repeater is performing better than Warren. I don't know where you're at.
I-75 in Troy. For some reason, that's a real dead spot for my machine. I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard me talk to him yesterday, but I had to head up towards Sandusky. And it's weird. I mean, there's got to be some sort of science or something to it, but, like, I'm really throwing this close to the Richmond repeater, and it really does seem well going south. But going north, oh my gosh, it was, like, unbelievable how far it worked, how well it worked north of Richmond. So, and I'm sure there's some science to it, like everything else, but it's just a project for another day. You know, add it onto the list of things someday.
All right, so you were hitting at the Richmond off I-75 going north?
Oh, no, I'm in my subdivision. I was talking about hitting north on M-19. So, hey, I got to let you go. I'm in the driveway. I got to go take care of my dog, and then I got to get out of here. I'll be back on the road for a while, so I'll chat later. ABAPR, WAPB.
Yeah, I'll be at work in 5 minutes. So, catch you later, ABAPR.
Go on me out there.
Yeah, Jack. What's up, buddy?
Oh, nothing, I just want to say, how you doing? That's about it. Nice. At least it's not that hot weather yet.
No, she moderated nicely. Only 79 degrees here on the highway, heading towards Roseville. So, yeah, my radio went back to Canada, and all I heard was DRC. And then I heard you say it was Wally out there, and I go, ah, he was looking for me. So, that's good. All's good, then. Well, I guess. So, how's your day going? Got any big plans?
Oh, it's not a big plan. I got to go visit my brother, so I got to go to Oak Park. Roger.
No, very good. Your brother's not that far away, I hope.
It's about half hour drive, so that's all right. No big deal, you know. But the thing there, that 696, it's just a shame. For 2 years, nobody can go in it.
After I get done with my little Roseville trip, my next stop is, believe it or not, my next stop is going to be Southfield. Well, it's fairly easy to get there, but you can't get home. So, I'm going to have to do that. So, I'm not looking forward to that. And I probably timed this thing bad, but oh well.
Yeah, what are you going to do? You got to do what you got to do, but just traffic. It's just too much traffic there. Then you get off of Coolidge. Then you can't get in from Coolidge. They had that ramp closed. I don't know why, but they had it closed. That's going westbound. So then you got to go to Greenfield. Then you make a right turn on Greenfield, which is 696. Then he got, they got it going all over.
Yeah, yesterday I couldn't get out of New Baltimore. I mean, it was terrible. And they got the light when you get up the exit, and if you're trying to head west on M-29, they got the light scheduled really short for M-29 because they're trying to keep I-94 from backing up. I mean, and I'll bet you that backup was probably a mile long on M29. I tried to turn around, take one of the side streets back down to 23 mile. I made that. And then, of course, they had to decide to cut 23 mile down to one lane. I just couldn't win for losing yesterday. No matter what I did, it was wrong.
They say you cannot win always. But sometimes you can win, and that's about it. All right, Uncle Raleigh, I'm going to let you go. Go ahead. Because you're driving and I'm driving. We got to concentrate on these guys don't know how to drive. Take care. KFA-DRC.
Very good. I will chat with you a little bit later.
W8BD, you'll be good.
Jack is always good. You know that. KCAKJO.
You are not going to believe what I heard this morning.
My radio fixed? No.
Believe what I heard this morning.
What did you hear?
Well, let's preface this. Like, I'm not going to be able to make the meeting tonight. So, she wakes up, goes and makes a pot of coffee. I wake up, go sit down, watch the news for a little while. Go back to the bedroom to get dressed, and she comes back and says, you know, today's our anniversary. And I'm thinking to myself, no, I got married in September. But today is our anniversary day when we met. And I didn't know that was a thing, but apparently that's a thing. So I'm going to have to take her out to dinner. I don't want to say have to, that's wrong. I should take her out to dinner tonight, so I'm going to not make the meeting again.
Well, we'll pick another day. You know, it is no rush. You know that.
Yeah, I know, but Dave's going to think I don't love him. But I was at the meeting last night, so I was a good boy last night.
Don't we all try to be?
So, I guess I'm going to have to mark this day down in my calendar because I then found out it's a thing.
Yeah, I think it was like October of 1991 where I met Melissa. Which day exactly, I have no clue. But we've been married for 33 years, so as long as I remember the anniversary of the day that we put the rings on, that's all that matters.
Well, I didn't realize that. I'm not going to cut this guy off. He's got Canadian license plates. I didn't realize that this was a thing. So I felt kind of small. So I told her to take her out to dinner. So that's what we're going to do.
Well, we could do the fish place in Marine City.
We went there Saturday. It wasn't as good. I don't know what happened. Well, telltale starter was we were able to walk in without reservations and got set right down right away. The other telltale starter thing was we noticed the place was only about half full, and usually during tourist season, i.e. right now, you know, if you don't have reservations, you're going to be roaming around town for 2.5 hours before you get in there. And that wasn't the case on a Saturday night. So something's happened there. And like I said, it wasn't as good.
Well, you got the Riviera restaurant, which is just down the road. It's on the water. You can watch the ship, and it's right there next to the old Border Patrol office. I mean, that's a thought.
Yeah, we've been there, too. That's nice. So, and what else was the one that, heck, I forget. Oh, the one in Elginac is nice, too.
Haven't been to that one.
Yeah, it's right across from the big marina. Bistro 22-something. It's all Chris Kraft memorabilia when you go inside the place. And that one's usually pretty good, too. We like that one once in a while. W.A.D.
K-K-K-K. What about the Green Street Tavern? It's been a long time since I've been to that one.
I only gave it one shot, and that was right after they reopened. It wasn't that good, but it's getting pretty good reviews now, so maybe they got their act together, so I might give that one another chance. You know, the thing about restaurants is, you know, consumers, like myself, got long memories and we don't forgive easy.
There's another one in Port Huron, right by one of the bridges, and that one's on the water, and last time I was there, that one was pretty decent, too. I just can't think of the name of it, but it's right there in Port Huron. I think it's off of Water Street, but I could be wrong.
Oh, yeah, we like those. Those are nice. All of the ones in Port Huron are nice. Port Huron's got nice view, nice traction, nice everything, and, I like touring around there and sometimes just go sit by the Blue Water Bridge and just watch the traffic. That's always comfortable.
Yeah, we tried that restaurant that's right there by the Thomas Edison Inn. I think there's like a hotel attached to it. Yeah, I didn't like that one. Too pricey for what you got, and it wasn't the greatest.
Well, there's a community announcement. If anybody is heading south on 994, right at 696, it's a parking lot.
How funny, I'm heading eastbound on 994, going to 696 west.
Just got on 96 West. I should be getting off at Gratiot here shortly.
No, I'm going up to 10 Mile and Lobster right up there.
I'm going Southfield. So we both enjoy our misery trying to get back home.
Absolutely. Sometimes I take 9 Mile all the way down. And other times I'll take 12 Mile.
Pretty good. All right. I bought me a cheap $50 tape radio. I've been playing with that, and I figured it out.
Is it just a UHF VMR kind of thing, or what?
VHF P25 kind of thing.
So it's a VHF P25, not a UHF.
Yeah. I bought it from a company, HALOID radios or something like that. It didn't have a power cord, didn't have a microphone, you know, just a base radio. The display was messed up on when I got it, and I sent them an email, said, with a picture of the display, I go, hey, the display's messed up on this. And they turned around and sent me a tracking number of a new radio on its way. No questions, no emails, no nothing else, just set. My guess is it's probably going to be a return shipping type thing box, you know. You get the other radio, you put the one they gave you in the box.
Is this a mobile or is this an HD?
This is a mobile. I'll let you play with it. Let me get it programmed up. You're welcome to play with it.
Yeah, because it's got VHF analog and P25. I mean, is there VHF P25 out here somewhere?
Yeah, there's a mod. Hello. I got another spam phone call. Oh, I can't believe it. I'm telling you, dude, it's comical. I mean, hold on. Michigan's working on helping me. You know, I was telling somebody that I have an idea what caused all these spam calls, but I can't prove it.
Oh, I have a slight inkling too. Every time you buy something on the internet.
I think it was AARP. I think they sold my phone number.
We're doing Obamacare for her and looking at my bridges and stuff. And as soon as you start talking with this one guy, they should be making phone calls. Like 7 of them every 2 minutes. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. That's something that needs to be addressed thoroughly. Apple. Supposed to have a feature in the next upgrade. You're going to love this. Let me see if I can't turn left. Let's say you call, and it's a different number every time. So you call my cell phone, and Apple answers it and says, if you want to talk to Wally, press 3. And so it won't connect the phone call until you connect that number, and that's supposed to be available here in the next couple months. And I'll tell you what, sign me up for that one.
100%, because I don't need it on my phone. You know, I don't need phone calls every, you know, 5 minutes or whatever. I do the same thing you do now. I just answer it, put it on mute, and if I don't hear anything, it just disconnects.
Yeah, well, that used to work for me, and it's kind of stopped.
Oh, on a side note, my coworker that I talked to you about for his TMRS radio, he is now official.
Official GMRS or official Hammy?
We did the application and stuff Monday, and yesterday he got, what's today, Thursday? Yeah, I think we did it Friday. No, we did it Monday. We did it Monday, and he got his letters and numbers on Wednesday, yesterday. Yeah, he got it yesterday.
For GMRS, right?
Yep, and I got Melissa her own separate one, and she's all geeked out.
Yeah, well, Marion has no intention of talking on a radio unless she absolutely, positively has to. So, she worked at Lowe's for many, many years and walked around with a handy-talkie all the time, and she looks at a handy-talkie, and I think she has flashbacks. All right, I'm where I'm supposed to be, Tom. I will talk with you a little bit later. WAV.
73, send me a link to that radio. I want to take a look at it also. KGKG, I'll talk to you on the flip.
All right. Yeah. The only quirk thing about it, it takes a special power cord, and I got one kind of cobbled in there right now, but I've figured out a way to make a power cord, so I might need your advice on that one later. WAV.
WDAKLL. WABD Mobile.
Good afternoon.
I thought I heard you there. The phone rang right after I threw my call out. WABD.
W4XED, this is W3LNS. W4XCD, this is W3LNS.
W8FU. So how did the day go? Well, it started, it progressed, and then it ended. All in all, kind of as expected. Today was big drive day, and now I am stuck on a traffic jam where you get 696 to start hitting eastbound on I-94, and we have a whole bunch of protesters on the bridge, all sorts of pretty colors. Yay, yay. What are they mad about? I can't see. Let's see here. Impeach him. They must be trying to get rid of you, Sean. Okay. There you go. Peaches and cream. It's kind of a difficult thing to do no matter what side of the fence you're on. So, I mean, everything is symbolic. I think it's only really been done once, right, in history. Actually got somebody removed. I think it's really kind of a tough thing to do. But whatever, enough of that. So, new guy working out good and everything else. I heard you on the other one trying to get a hold of TJ. Did they get his wire fixed or don't know yet? So the as far as the impeachment thing goes, I think it's been done more often than you think. The problem is that what is the word? You know, people think impeachment means, you know, impeachment just basically means indictment. You know, you've been indicted or you've been accused, so to speak. And then you have your day in court. You're either convicted or not, you know, but you can be impeached without, you know, and win. I think Trump was already impeached once. Clinton was impeached. Nixon was impeached. But it wasn't the impeachment that removed him. It was he resigned. So impeachment itself isn't it's an accusation, a formal, you know, it has a lot of gravitas, you know, but because it's a formal charges. So that's that. Second, let's see here. Oh, new guy's fine, but like I said, we pretty much just having him on acclimation tasks. He's getting acclimated, you know, getting all his onboarding. You know, there's a lot of onboarding, particularly with respect to security and access and things like that, so we're working on all that. We've had him out on a few things. You know, but a lot of our stuff requires some access that he doesn't quite yet have. So. And my phone's ringing. So, and it's PJ, so let me give him a buzz. Let me pick this up. I'll catch you over on the other. Have you had a few? Still here, Wally?
Yes, yeah, sir.
Yeah, so like I was saying, new guy is mostly just onboarding stuff and security clearances and trying to expose him to what we can. And he's got some other things he's got to do. He's got some credentials. There's some testing and some other stuff he's got to do. So just we're working him through that. But so far, so good. And then as far as TJ goes, I just hung up with him. Next step is for the carrier to come out and whoever is providing the circuit. I think it's AT&T. Not sure, but they're supposed to get somebody out. We got to give them access into the room to the DMARC so they can check things because they're pointing fingers and saying it ain't them. Their stuff's fine. Blah blah blah. So you know, we're gonna have to get a guy in there to you know they go from the DMARC out to their equipment and see if they can figure out where in the heck the problem is.
No, I got it. Okay, well, hopefully he gets that. So I'm just curious if he got that going. So, other than that, not too much going on. Just been working out. If you heard Kirby chatting earlier, I didn't know your first date was a thing. I found that out this morning.
All right, I missed something there. You said you didn't know that my first date was a, and I'm not getting it.
That's okay, neither did I. She wakes up this morning, goes gets a cup of coffee, comes back into the bedroom with a cup of coffee, and she says, it's our anniversary. And I'm thinking, no, it's not. And apparently, it was our first date. So I didn't realize that that was a thing. So, but apparently it is.
Oh, my God, yes. Yeah, I remember. My wife had all sorts of stuff, you know. This is the anniversary of where we first met in the hallway at school. Oh, this is the anniversary of the first day, you know, that we officially were going steady. This is the anniversary of the first day we were engaged. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm sorry. I can't remember these dates, you know. If I knew I was supposed to, I'd have made a journal entry. No, I wouldn't have.
Yeah, so I'm going to miss the meeting tonight. I left a message with Dave to call me when he gets a chance. But apparently it's a thing. So I guess you got to be married a handful more years before it's not a thing anymore. But I guess it's a thing. So I'm going to have to take her out to dinner tonight. Maybe I'll take her back to where I met her. What do you think? Met her at Partridge Creek Mall. It was one of those internet baby things. So, either way, I'm going to not be able to attend tonight, so I'm not sure if you're going to be there or not. Dave, until Dave can give me that text if you got a break, and I don't, or call if you got a break, but his job, I don't think he gets too many breaks, and when he does, he uses them for himself, as he should. So, that's going to be my evening excitement, so... I did get, I told you I bought a cheap $50 tape radio to practice programming and playing around and get familiar with it and everything else. They sent me one with a bad display, which I don't care. And I sent the guy an email on his website. I actually bought it from a legit website, some company called H-A-I-O-L-D or whatever. And I sent him a picture of the screen, and I said, hey, look, the screen's dead, and this one, everything else like that. And he says, we'll drop you one in the mail today, a new one. So I thought, now that's customer service. Don't have to wait to get the other radio back or anything else like that. So I thought, now that's really nice. WAB.
Roger. Well, that's cool. And these are P25 mobiles.
Yeah, Saber 50 bucks. And P25 Mobile, VHF, they had some UHF ones too, I think, but I think the UHF ones were 100 and the VHFs. And like I said, I really didn't, you know, figure it was going to stay with me long. So, but nonetheless, I was able to do it. But what impressed me was the responsiveness of the company, you know. You heard Dakota's horror stories of Yaesu, and then you go to this commercial guy that, you know, sells new ones. And he says, you know, no worries, I'll send you one. You know, I mean, they responded back within like 2 hours, you know, with a tracking number of a new one that was on its way.
Got some sort of weird thing going on with the timeout timer in this. It's like if I don't let the thing completely drop, every now and again it times out.
Did I time it out?
No, it's something in the 2.6. I'm gonna have to check it out and see what's going on. It might be well, I don't know. I don't want to speculate. I've never been a fan of speculating what might be broken on something over the air, because it's all just speculation, and you could get lucky and guess right, or you could 9 times out of 10 sound stupid and guess wrong. You know how you did you avoid that? Yeah, troubleshoot.
Or you can do it the way some of our technicians do it, just keep ordering parts until you get it right.
The shotgun approach. I've done that in the past under certain circumstances. It's not a great way to go, but there have been circumstances where it just made sense for one reason or another.
Yeah, first, oh, needs a new capacitor. Up, oh, needs a new pump. Up, oh, needs a new oil line. Up, oh, needs a new airlock cylinder. Yeah, so. And sometimes they do it. This is where it's really creative. If it's, let's say, something that's a real pain in the parts to change, they'll order another part and hope they don't get redispatched to the job. But we're kind of on to that now. So we try to make sure that there's some symmetry between who diagnosed it and who has to fix it.
Yeah, just pull up the who was out there last. Okay. Joe, hey, you were out on this one last. It's still broken. Go figure it out.
Yeah. We got a couple of them that are really sharp and conscientious. I mean, we got a couple of them that are will do everything they can to try to kick the can down the road. But we're kind of figured out who's who in the game. So I'm sure you probably got the same deal.
Negative. I've got nothing but 100% conscientious, 100% diligent, no stone unturned, first time, every time, arsenal in my quiver.
Well, then I'm going to go have to offer them more money than you offer them to get them to come work for us. What do they call it in the business world? Stealing.
There you go. Oh, man. Yep, first. I took a different route home. There was a train. Couldn't get through on Grosbeck, so I took Moravian. It's always a pleasant drive home. So now I'm down here at 15 and, where am I at? 15 and Shaner. Kind of a roundabout way for me to get home.
Lucked out. I'm going to let the timer let go for a minute. If anybody else wants in, so if I'm good at not letting people in, I'm going to wait about 10 seconds. Say that, Sean. I scared them all away. You know, back on that conscientious workers and everything else, you know what profession it's really difficult in right now to keep and maintain? And they're really good at jumping from company to company for more money is the automotive technician industry right now. There is a, especially, I don't, can't speak for the country, but I can speak for Southeast Michigan. In Southeast Michigan, it's just unbelievable the amount of money these guys are getting, hopping from store to store to store if they're any good.
Yeah, I think there's a big adjustment gone on after COVID. I think people are looking for, they're being a little bit more selective about where they work, and the best guys are saying, you know what, you know, and part of the problem is there used to be loyalty at companies, or you know, you could count on, you know, but I, you know, with pensions and with making investments like 401ks portable and all that stuff, there's really not much making somebody making you stand out. So it just becomes a game if somebody says, you know what, shrug, I'm just gonna show me the money, going where I make the most money. And that seems to be the way the younger folks do it now. We went for more of a security thing, you know, and long term and all that. I know I did. I wouldn't be comfortable with that bouncing. There's something good to be said about it, you know. If you're constantly bouncing, you got to always be up on your skills, right? You know, you got to be the sharpest tool in the shed. If you want to be that guy that's always pushing the envelope, and you know, sometimes there's it's nice to get comfortable somewhere and, you know, and figure out exactly what they need done and do that really, really well. And there's a lot less pressure than, you know, moving all the time and figuring out a whole new system.
You know, that whole pension thing, world according to Wally, that's kind of a double-edged sword, okay? The companies, I'm getting a couple pensions from jobs I had in the past, and they're not much, but nonetheless, it's nice to have that money come in. And it was one of the reasons why I stayed at one company so long. I stayed at one company for like 19 and a half years or something like that. And all the bad days I had and everything else like that, that was the thing that kept me there was, you know, the pension. And it was like, as an employee, I always felt I was a little bit more tolerant before I would say, oh, to hell with you, I'm going to work for him. And so that's the plus of the pension, you know, and where the companies kind of, you know, they thought they were cutting a bad hog. Oh, look, we don't have this long-term liability for as long as Wally shall live, if I mean. But so, like, two of them have got that. They're stuck, and actually half of it goes to Marion now that I got married. So it's basically two lives, that, you know, that they have to cover on a pension. So the company's thinking that they're cut a bad hog. But the downside of it is with that, you were talking about the loyalty. They threw out the loyalty on, you know, company, you know, people staying there. So that, I think that that's what hurt them. You know, and with your, you know, package, you've got the loyalty. So if somebody has a bad hair day or a bad hair week or what have you, you know, they're not going to say, I'm out of here, you know.
Yeah, there might be something else going on because dropped again. I know it wasn't a timer issue. So there's something going on. It's happened a few times. Anywho, yeah, you know, the pension has kept me. You know, I could make more money doing exactly what I do in private industry. But, you know, you add the pension to it, and now it's not necessarily, you know, how much is that worth? How much is, you know, a pension plus lifetime medical? We can't transfer our spousal benefit. In other words, my wife, when I retire, is the only one entitled to my pension. If I, if she dies, or if we divorce, if we divorce, she's still entitled to her portion. But if she were to pass away, if I got remarried, wouldn't be like they would get my pension. So that is pretty rare. It has to go back ways. You know, pensions are great. Now, you know, you say the company has a burden, all that stuff, but like ours is self-funded. Ours is completely solvent and self-funded, and you know, it's pretty much, you know, it ain't the employer paying it.
Yeah, well, they send us letters all the time telling us that it's funded, blah, 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 and everything else like that. But the one company I work for, they actually sent a letter, okay? And, like, if she, let's say if I said no, don't give her anything, she had to actually take it to a notary and have it signed, or a lawyer or something like that, and it had to be signed in front of them that she was denying it. And, you know, it was, I think it was a difference of $100 a month or something like that. You know, they paid me $100 less a month so that there would be survivor benefits. And then there was a document that had to get signed in order to, for her to pass that off. So that was the way that this one was written. And, of course, that's private sector, too.
I have to wait for the commercial here. Yeah, we have the option of you know, I get the maximum pension I get is if there's no survivor benefit. Then we get the maximum while I'm still alive. And then the second one is called pop up. That's what I've got, I think. I'd have to double check. And that's the pension is a certain amount, and then if the spouse dies, it pops up to a different level. And then there's another one where it's the same no matter what, you know, whether, you know, so they got three different ways we can do it, but none of them allow you to change the spouse on ours. I've heard of that. My dad's, I think, was like that. The one he had from the International Typographical Union when he was a typesetter. Well, actually, he wasn't a typesetter, but he worked in that line of work. And I wonder what this building's going to be. Never mind. I digress. His was transferable because my mother passed away, and then he remarried some years later, and I know she got part of his pension or something, or was entitled. I don't know. Mine is not. It's Andrea is entitled, you know, regardless of what happens to me, and you know, but that's it. It's me and her, and that's it.
Yeah, see, I didn't pay any attention to any of this stuff until it happened, and then once, you know, once they figured out I was married again, then all of a sudden, you know, these letters started coming in about, you know, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. So, and it was fine. I'm okay with it. You know, I don't want any ill will on her at all, no matter what happens in the future. You know, I'm fine with it. If, you know, she puts up with me, she deserves something.
Well, that's nice, that sentiment on your anniversary and all.
There you go. All right. I'm going to try to get her to go to Topgolf. I'll let you know how that goes. I'll talk to you later. And I'm pulling in the driveway, so you have a good evening. We shall chat soon. WABD.
All right. Have fun. Tell Maid Marian I said hi, and enjoy White Castle. It's a fine choice for a first date anniversary, in my opinion. W8FU.
I'm gonna tell her you suggested that or not. Later. WBD.
NABBS.
Yo, yo, what up?
Are you still at the shop?
Negatuzzi. I am about 2 miles north of my house on the way home. Did you just leave? A little early for you.
All right. I don't usually catch you. Yeah, 4 o'clock day today, so 4 o'clock on the dot, grabbed my stuff and ran out the door. But those don't happen often.
Yeah, my normal quit time is 3:30, so 4 o'clock is just about when I'm pulling in the driveway. So I'll be just pulling in the drive as you're just pulling out of work on your 4 o'clock base. But I'm a little behind schedule there, and I don't know why. Why am I a little behind? I got out on time, didn't run into any traffic, did take a different route, so I guess that's what it could be. Because, it's still a few minutes after. I'd normally be home by now. So what's new and exciting? Anything good going on? Got any got anything on the radio horizon? I got some antenna work I really got to do. I was looking at my antenna the other day, and I said, I got to get on that, because I've been really avoiding my HF stuff.
You know, nothing really. I haven't done, I'm the same way. I've not touched my HF stuff in weeks, maybe a month or two. I don't know why. I do know why. The band conditions from everyone that I've been talking to have said they're terrible, so I'm like, I'm not going to mess with it then. I got that new ID50. I'm a big fan of that. But I was tinkering with my iGate, which is that APRS Raspberry Pi I put together last night, which also runs my ham clock. And I put a pie hole on it, and it kind of gave me the itch to build something again. So, I don't know. I'm looking for a project if you got any recommendations. And I do recall you mentioning your antenna a few times. You've got a wire, right, and you want to put it on a tower or something? I don't remember what you had going on, but I remember you mentioning it a few times.
I'm almost embarrassed to say it, but Davian made me those spreaders for my fan dipole. I've got an 80-40-20 fan dipole, and he made me these spreaders, 3D printed them, and I dropped the antenna, and I ran them up, and then I ran the antenna back up, but I didn't finish tuning the antenna, and it's bad. Mostly I've been avoiding HF because, I mean, I can tune it up and get it into the band, but really, it needs to be pruned seriously. And I've just been meaning to do that. I mean, dropping it down to the ground and, you know, finally getting it dialed in. I think once I get that dialed in, I'd probably be using the radio a little bit more. But it's been a long time since he made those for me. It was last year, and I didn't do nothing with him last year. And then when the weather broke, I think it was back in February, we had an unusual warm streak. And I dropped it all, and I put them all up, all gung-ho, and ran it back up. And then it got cold again, and I forgot about it. And now I just haven't wandered back out there to do the tuning phase.
Life happens. I've put off quite a few projects like that. Especially right now. You don't really want to be hanging out outside when it's this nasty.
That's true. But having said that, see here, I'm going to do something here. People are probably looking at me like, what the hell's wrong with this guy? I just went all the way from the right lane to get into the left lane, across the back of traffic, because I forgot I got to go to Walgreens and pick up a script up here on the corner. Yeah, but there's really no excuse, just being lazy, you know. There's probably been a dozen of times that I've been just sitting around watching cat videos where I could have been better served out there monkeying with my antenna.
Well, I would not rush out to do it just yet because I think the fall is as good a time as any to hang out outside and mess around with an antenna. Spring was all right. It was a little muddy, but I think the fall is the time to get out there and play some radio, and I'm really looking forward to that. And, I'm just hoping the bands get a little bit better. Every time I turn on my radio, I can hear, like, a handful of stations. I don't know if it's just lack of activity or if it's just the bands are that bad.
One could argue all the more reason to have your antennas optimized, right? But let's see here. Oh, yes. I get to pull right up to the drive-through window. Nobody, no waiting. Let me grab my script here.
I love when that happens. All right, NADVS, standing by.
Yeah, it looks like they're tied up, so I'll be here a second waiting for them to come to the window. Okay, hold on. Okie doke. Mission accomplished. Got her script, and I can head home. I'll tell you, we switched from, I don't know if you know or not, but Rite Aid completely folded in Michigan. So people, and we were long time Rite Aid people. We loved Rite Aid. They knew us. We knew them. They, you know, years of culturing, you know, nurturing a relationship with them. And then they switched over to Walgreens, and it's just been terrible. So, and I just don't see it getting any better either. Plus, our insurance is getting weird, making us go to very specific providers, making us get very specific scripts. Like, we have to get 90 days, and we can only get it from two places. You know, still very good insurance, but they're very particular about where we go.
Yeah, we were Rite Aid people, too. I never did find out or do any homework on why did Rite Aid and CVS start shutting the doors in Michigan.
Yeah, Rite Aid's completely gone. I don't know if they have a presence anywhere anymore, but they're completely gone from Michigan for sure, if they exist at all. CVS is seriously reducing the number. You know, and then shortly after that, we get a thing from my insurance provider. I've got Blue Care Network, so, you know, it's in that Blue Cross family of insurances. It's a very, very good, plan, covers everything extensively. But we have to get a 90-day prescription, and we can only get it from Walgreens or through this OptumRx, which is Blue Cross's mail order providers. So that's your two choices, Walgreens or their mail order one. And it has to be a 90-day. If I don't get a 90-day, and if I get a 90-day, I have to pay 2 months copay, and the third one's free. If I don't get it through them or through Walgreens, then I pay the copay 2 months, and then I pay the full amount the third month. And then some scripts, that could be crazy. This one my wife gets. I go in there to get the script the third month, and they said, yeah, that'll be $500. So I'm like, well, squeeze me?
That is kind of bizarre. I wonder with all these pharmacies closing, if they're restructuring, and I can't even, that doesn't make sense why they would start changing it that drastically. What if you don't need a 90-day script? Are you saying for the scripts you need, you can only get it in a 90-day, you can't get it in a 30 or 60?
If it's a maintenance drug, you know, like I got to take a pill for sugar, metformin. That's a maintenance drug, so I have to get that in 90 days, and I have to pay two copays, and I get 1 month completely free. If I don't get it through their preferred provider, then I have to pay two copays and then the full amount. So it's crazy, and I think they do that because it's scale, you know, by trying to get everybody to go to a particular provider, they can, that looks an awful lot like, my neighbor's got a lawnmower that looks an awful lot like mine. I'm sure it's not, but I think it's, just, you know, if they can get everybody to go to Walgreens or everybody to go to the OptumRx, they can strike a much better deal for drug prices. And so that's how they encourage you to do it. You can still go anywhere, but you're going to pay, you know, you don't get the bonus and you pay extra. So I think that's what's going on. And probably Rite Aid and CVS closing up is probably reflecting that. If they didn't win the contest to be the one that fills those 90 days, you know, then they're on the outside looking in.
No, that's a valid theory. I think you're on to something there. They're getting the better prices and the volume. They're consolidating patients, I guess you'd call them, customers. So more people are buying from them because Rite Aid's gone and CVS is dwindling. So, yeah, they're probably skyrocketing their profits.
Probably. So who knows? But, I mean, it's not bad. You know, I just have to go. I have to get 90-day scripts at their maintenance, and I have to get them from Walgreens or this mail-order house called OptumRx. So, I mean, in the end, I switched all mine to the mail order OptumRx and just figured the hell with it. Now, if you get a script for like an antibiotic or, you know, if it's not a regular maintenance drug, then yeah, you can just get it filled anywhere, or like a painkiller for a, you know, because you broke your toe or something like that, or you got a tooth pulled and you got some Vicodin or something. You know, you get like 12 pills. You can go get that anywhere. It doesn't matter. It's not a maintenance drug, right? So, What's that sweet you do when you're coming down with something to knock it out real quick? They got that sweet you do real quick to kind of try to get on top of it.
See, Doc?
That's it.
It's a scam. Well, it's not really a scam. They're trying to consolidate. But the profits are really at the pharmaceutical level.
Hey, how you doing, Ben? Dakota and I out here BSing on the way home. I just pulled in the driveway. I will transition over to the HT. So, be in here for a few more. Go ahead, Dakota.
All right, that's a better explanation. I was going to say, I've never had a 90-day script. I'm sure that day will come, but haven't yet, so I was wondering how that worked. Ben, how you doing, man? It's been a minute.
Yeah, it sure has, Dakota. Great to hear your voice. You guys are just on different schedules than me. I just happened to get out a little bit early and catching at the tail, your tail end and my tail beginning here. So, but on the other side, so I'm CFO of our companies, and we're constantly every year, reviewing expenses for healthcare, and one of the things we're looking into right now is self-insurance, and the biggest expense, believe it or not, is pharmaceuticals. So I can see why they're doing it, and that rule is really being driven by whoever, as I guess it would be Blue Care Network in Sean's case, because I think that's who he said he had. They do for ours as well. So you have to go to a certain place and you pay a certain amount, and if you're on maintenance, you got to do their thing. So, it's just a control cost more than anything else.
It just seems like more and more things are getting consolidated and companies are getting bigger and bigger and monopolizing more and more.
Yeah, 100% agree.
If I can get what I need
I think I caught Sean saying
really. Trying to save me money, and that's how they did it. Because the alternative is leave it the same, and then come and say, oh, by the way, your premiums are going up. And nobody likes that.
You guys doubled pretty good there. I only got the tail end of what Sean said, and Ben, I didn't catch any of what you said. But I think I got the gist of what Sean was talking about. And yeah, no one wants to spend more money. Period. And I don't blame them. I don't either. But that's a good point. If they're the new guy in town, and because of them, the premiums are going up, everyone's going to be pissed, and they're not going to do very well. Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, sorry about that. I caught it at the very end. It was like, oh, crap, Sean's back. I thought he was getting out of his car going into the house. No, what I was saying is a lot of the consolidation is happening because of the transition away from brick and mortar. So I think Sean said something about OptumRx or whatever it's called, the online service. I mean, it's much like Amazon getting rid of all the mom-and-pop type stuff. Everything's getting rid of brick and mortar and consolidation to online because they're able helps cut costs that way. So, I mean, healthcare is outrageous, and there's a whole host of reasons why it's outrageous. I think we all know the reasons they are outrageous. And as usual, we're the ones that get stuck without a chair with a moving staff.
Yeah, and I'll make this my way out to the home, and I gotta check in with the XYO and all that. But all I was saying is that, you know, hey, if they can find a way to, you know, broker a deal, consolidate, you know, trim choices down, but in the end, doesn't cost me any more money, and I get the same level of you know, service or you know whatnot, then. You know, hats off for them for keeping the prices down, because, as I was saying, you know, there as we were doubling, you know, the other option is they let me keep, you know, going anywhere I want on a monthly basis, and they have to reflect that in the cost that they pass on to me. I have to pay more, you know, in prescription fees or whatever, you know, in what it costs me. So you know, so they're trying to keep the cost down, I guess. And on every year, you know, I don't pay it directly, but my employer negotiates for the entire, you know, for the entire union and the entire group, and they might offer you a 3% raise to keep medical costs, and Ben, you know all about this, of course, but, you know, they'll say, well, you can have a 3% raise and medical stays exactly the same, or your medical cost is going to increase, the copays are going to increase, and you can have a 5% raise, and you got to, you know, or whatever. I'm just throwing that out there, but that's all part of the negotiation. And they offer you, say, which way you guys want? You want to pay more, or you want to just taper back the raise a little bit? We're offering you, you know, they offer you, they're going to offer this much, and you can divvy it up any damn way you want. So, all right, I'll listen, but I'm going to get busy with changing and putting some things away and all that good stuff. Good hearing you, Ben. Been a while. Yeah, it's funny because I'm just getting home as Dakota's just getting on the road, and then as I'm home, you know, I wouldn't even be out here normally this late, and then Dakota's usually not this early, and then you come out right at the tail end. So it's like we got these non-optimum drive times right now. Catch everybody in a bit. I'll be listening. W8FU.
Take it easy, Sean. I plan on jumping on I don't even know what I'd call it. I'll have my radio on crossband, so I'll be on when I get home as well, so maybe I'll catch you then. And, it seems like any time there's change, no matter what it is, the cost increases, so I guess whatever they can do to mitigate that, it's a win for the customers, the patients, the clients, however you want to slice it.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know if it's just my radio or if it's it's here, but it like cut out right at Sean's tail, and I don't know if you had a timeout timer or something.
I'll just jump right in here real quick. No, there's something going on. I don't know what. I thought it was the same thing. I thought it was timeout timer, but there's something going on. All right, carry on, guys. But it ain't your radio. That's why I just want to let you know that. WNFU.
Good deal. I'm in the Tesla, so I have no idea if it's feeding back and causing all kinds of nonsense or not, but I was kind of wondering. But yeah, I remember, so my night job, Dakota, I don't think, but I was on city council in Rochester for like 12 years, and one of the biggest things that we did on council was to get rid of defined benefit and go to defined contribution because of the legacy costs. You know, the system is always built on more guys coming in afterwards to pay for the guys that are going on retirement. So now it's just a shell game to try and get that sorted. But yeah, it's like I said before, they're always trying to cut costs, and if somebody's going to get hit with it, you know, 9.5 times out of 10 it's up at the end of the day, which is, I guess, the way it goes, eh?
Yeah, and usually that cost gets passed on to the, like you said, current employees or the consumer. So it is what it is. It's way of life. I think that's why these... there's no reason my half-ton pickup truck should cost $67,000.
That would be a fact, Jack. All right, I'm going to sneak out. I got to run into Home Depot and buy some water softener, so I'll catch you guys later. Great catching up. Hopefully our paths will cross again as time allows. 58 Golf Indians for clear.
All right, man. Good talking to you. Hopefully I catch you soon. NADBF, I'll be standing by.
WAFU from I'm not hearing what you're hearing. But everything comes through and sounds fine.
N8NM K8BB. Funny because your transmission cut out twice in the middle of it.
N8BB up. I can second that.
Well, I'll be dipped.
Yeah, I just sat in the car a couple of minutes ago, so heard enough, I think, to piece together what was being said, but I don't know, I'm going to assume packet loss in some manifestation or another.
Yeah, I just acquired a stutter.
Anyway, hello Dakota and Steve and whoever else. K8BB.
Hey, I'm going to get back to cleaning up my mess at 8NM.
Good afternoon, everyone. Have fun cleaning up your mess. And I don't know who else I got out here. I apologize. I was half listening.
That's right. Yeah, it's Don, K-A-D-D. Just got in the car here a few minutes ago, and I got a few more minutes before I have to make the next stop.
Is it errand time or is it dinner time?
Oh, it's about to be wine time, happy hour time. That's the stop to make. Dinner later.
That actually sounds pretty good. I have not had a glass of wine in a long time.
Now, I'm very excited to hear. I am more than making up for that on your behalf. In moderation.
It's really a convenience thing. It's a lot easier to just throw a bunch of beers in a cooler than it is to bring a bottle and some glasses. I guess I could drink out of the bottle. I mean, it's not like I haven't done that before.
No comment. Yeah, it's bougie. You gotta go through the corkscrew and you gotta get the fancy glasses. I suppose you could drink red wine out of a solo cup, but no, it's been a thing for us lately. But anyway, getting out of the office a little early and got time to do it today for a busy day tomorrow. So tomorrow will be probably no happy hour tomorrow, or at least not so much later. But that's okay. Take it when you can get it. I thought it was supposed to be sunny today. It's been, like, gray. Every time I've been outside, it's all cloudy and overcast.
I've long since upgraded from the box wine where you didn't really need a cup. You just had a on-off switch. And, no, this weather has been ridiculous. I'm patiently waiting for my yard to dry out, and it seems like it rains 5 out of 7 days a week.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same. I've been, I need to get this weekend or early next week. I've got a short window that I've got to get some yard work done, and we're going to be out of town for a number of days. I'm like, I got to do it before I leave, because if I get back, I'm going to have a note on the door that says, we cut your grass, pay here. That'll be bad.
Is that an HOA thing, where if your grass isn't cut, they send someone and bill you?
No, it's a little bit of an exaggeration. It's a city thing, but for the most part, the city is not fussing in my neighborhood. So, then again, you know, there's plenty of busy Bettys in the neighborhood, so somebody can be like, oh, that house, but it has to be pretty egregious before they finally call code enforcement And they don't do it. They give you, they put a thing on the door, and I think they give you 7 days. And you've got to comply within 7 days, and there's no fine. And if you don't, then they'll write you a ticket, and eventually they'll send someone out to do it, and they'll give you a fine for that, too. But it has never come to that, but supposedly that's the system in place.
I've got one of those neighbors, too, that's a little too nosy and cares a little too much about what I'm doing. I'm redoing my entire yard, bringing the grade up and whatnot, getting ready for seed this fall, and I was in the township yesterday morning dealing with some grievances that he has, and I'll be there next Wednesday as well, so I know what you mean. You got to keep your ducks in a row because there's too many wandering eyes.
Everyone would just mind their own business. That is not in the general nature of humans. But, well, I hope the neighbor isn't being too much of a pain. Sorry to hear that you're going through all that.
Nah, he's just a crotchety old man that doesn't like the fact that my house is now on a piece of land that he used to farm. So, there's that. But, it's all right. I'm getting it handled.
Well, I'm assuming that if he used to farm it, it used to be his, which means he got a check for it. So, I don't know what his problem is. But, yeah. No, in the event that there was an issue, I could probably call any of about four neighbors and say, hey, emergency, we're out of town. Can you run over and mow my grass? And they probably all say, consider it done, and we'll reciprocate next time. So, oh well.
That's one thing I missed. So I moved to BFE Elmont to avoid neighbors, and I landed right next to one of the most annoying ones I could have gotten as far as trying to police what I do on my own property. And my old house, though, I had a phenomenal neighbor that was much like that. If I needed anything, I could count on them to help me out. Not that I was ever out of town a whole lot, but, whatever he didn't have, I had. Whatever he, was just back and forth all the time. And I do miss that a lot because now I'm essentially on an island. Unless I got Phil, KTMR. I don't know if he's listening, but he's a good neighbor. He's just a mile away.
Yeah, no, I'm right in the hood, so I got neighbors in every direction. But for the most part, good neighbors. So, well, I'm about a half a mile from where I'm going, so I'm going to sign out and go in. And actually, it is not yet happy hour, so drag my feet here for a little bit. But anyhow, drive safe. We'll catch you next time. KATV.
All right. Well, enjoy your vino, and don't drink too much. Careful driving, and I'll catch you later. NATDF.
That Dakota out there, I just want to say hello, Dakota, KFHDRC.
Jack, how you been?
Very good. How about you?
I'm living my best life. How's the radio journey treating you?
Oh, Dakota, I'm having a lot of lot of fun here. 710, I had that Yezu. I don't know if I tell you or not, that 710 Yezu. That is a good radio, and it does a good job, too, out there. But I got one problem from it. I cannot match it with the vertical, because I had a vertical since 82, and it has to be matched. So I'm trying to get somebody with an analyzer to match that radio. That way I can use it on that vertical.
Yeah, last time I talked to you, you had just gotten that 710, and you were still learning it. I mean, honestly, I'm still learning mine, but I do like that radio quite a bit. And did you say you got to tune the radial for the radials for the vertical?
That's what I got to do, yeah. But I don't know if I'm trying to get somebody in to tune it, really, because those filters there, I have three of them. See, because it's 10 meter, 20 meter, 40 meter, and 80. I got them all on that vertical. And it has to be tuned in to it.
Which vertical do you have? Because I've been on the fence about one for a long time now. I'm currently running a 5-to-1 on a 60-foot wire in my attic. Which is convenient and nice because I don't have to maintain it or do anything, but at the same time, I would like to get something outside.
You know what? The friend of mine, he lives in Flint, and he just put the wire, one wire, and it does hell of a job for that. He put it right on the trees, and he can hear almost everybody. Not here only, no. Out of the United States.
Each install is going to be a little different. Like I said, mine's fine. I think it does good enough for how much I mess with radio, but I was spoiled at my old house with my last antenna. It was up really high. It was very long. It heard and got out. But I was looking at vertical just for the form factor because I've always got stuff going on in the yard right now. I'm really compromised. I'm shoving a big POTA antenna, our emergency communications antenna, that's in the attic. So it's doing okay, but I think, I don't know, I could be wrong. Anyone listening, correct me, but I don't know that the radio is really going to, if your radio won't tune it, that means it's out of a 3-to-1 match. I don't think the radio is going to make that much of a difference.
Yeah, I don't know. But I don't know if you remember, I had a Drake T4XC, and it was tuned itself with that radio. But this radio is different because it's an HF and it's a brand new. They changed a lot from it. So that's why it has to be tuned in to that. And really, I like the vertical, you know, because I don't like to put the wire here, wire there, you know, all these things. And I really, you know, I have the vertical with the six, you know, small mask around. They go around. I can send you a picture of it, no problem. But it's a good antenna because I asked, I don't know, well, I know you do, remember Don, Professor Don, he passed away, I know that. And I asked him, do you think this vertical still work? He said, yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. It works. And it's true. It will work. Because I was on 10 meter and on 200, it doesn't give me any problem. But as soon as I get to 400, I got SWR high. And that's why it has to be matched.
When it says SWR high, mine says that anytime it's tuning. If you actually go and set your SWR meter where the power meter is, and you whistle into it at a lower power, is it like off the charts, or is it like 3 and under, or where is it falling?
Falling 1.0, right there.
Well, you gotta modulate it. So if you're just holding down the key and it's saying 1, that's not accurate. So if you whistle or talk into it and you're low power, just in case it's a really bad match, you don't want to damage your radio. And make sure it says SWR. I'm curious where it's falling on those bands, because anytime I tune mine, it says high SWR until it's done tuning.
Oh, mine on the 240. Even on the 20 meter, it does not do nothing. But as soon as I get up to 400, it'll just that when I talk.
What do you mean 400? 400 megahertz?
The frequency, like I'm on the 20 meter, 425, 415, 416, and that's what it does it.
You're confusing me now. 20 meters is 14.
Yeah, I know it's 14, but when I put it on 14 and I go 14, 416, 1000, whatever you want to call it, or 1400, and that's when it does it.
That is out of band, right?
It's
out
of
band. I was just going to say.
I need to analyze it, and that way, because I called the DX and said, you need to analyze that. And I said, how do you do that? They give me four pages of that on their website. You can read that And that's how you analyze that antenna.
Yeah, that's okay. You don't need to transmit there anyhow. It's you're not allowed to transmit there, so as long as you can hear.
So, Sean, even doing that on 10 meter, on 400.
Yeah, on 10.400, you can, 28.400, you can, you definitely have privilege, or, well, no, actually, yeah, you do. Yeah, it's a 28.3 to 28.5 phone, so that's right in your, wheelhouse there. You say just 400 and above? That's very strange.
Yeah, I just, I took two parts off of it. The one I was telling Dakota, those six, aluminum, I took them out, put a new one, and the bottom part, where you put the coax and all that, and I changed that to a brand new, and that's what it does.
I just got home. I'll be back on EHD and ADDF. Right, and I didn't mean to jump back in here. I just heard you talking about that, and I wanted to see if maybe I could shed some light. But all right, Dakota, we'll catch you. All right, Jack, well, we'll have to, maybe you'll have to come by and take a look at what you got, see if we can figure it out instead of trying to troubleshoot it over the radio. As everybody knows here, I'm not a big fan of doing that. It's better to go look at it and say, ah, there's the problem.
No problem, Sean. Thank you. All right, Dakota, good talking to you. We'll talk again. KFATRC.
All right, Jack, I'm going to cut you loose. Good hearing you. And sounds like you're having fun, though, regardless. So have to get you a nice little solid-state rig so you can get rid of all that. Oh, you got one. That's right. You got that 710, right?
I got that 710. Diesel.
There you go. Great radio. Great radio. So I know you had the Drake, and I thought maybe we were talking about that, which could be any number of issues. But, yeah, that 710 should work right out of the gate. Okay, very cool. We'll make it a point to see if we can hook you up. All right, Jack, we'll catch you later. W8FU.
All right, Sean, thank you. Take care. KFADRC. KFADRC, KAWJ. KFADRC, KAWJ. Still there, Jack? Yeah, go ahead. KFADRC. Hey, good afternoon, young man. Sounds like you're having fun. KFADRC. Sorry, Jack, I only got a portion of that. This is the tail end of that. I don't know what happened. Well, Jack, I don't know what happened. I kind of lost you. I just wanted to say howdy. 7-3s, have a good one, and we'll catch you later. KEWOJ. Good talk to you. I'll talk to you a little bit more because I'm driving right now. I'm on 75. Try and get home. We'll talk later. KFADRC. Hey, Jack, you be careful there. KEAWOJ, I'll be clear.
KEAKJL.
KEAKJL, KEAWOJ. Good morning, or good afternoon there, young man.
Good afternoon. Up with work, and now I'm going to get on a soft field and try to get back over to Frank Downcheck for my ARPS meeting.
Well, you are one busy fella.
Yeah, I try to keep busy. I enjoy it. I enjoy helping people.
Excellent. You know, I didn't kind of learn that until I got old and too old to help too many people. Kind of wish I could have changed that.
You know, I take inspiration from my grandfather. He was 93 years old. He was still moving along. His stuff with his church, made his little wooden trinket toys and stuff like that, and games for church, for the bazaar, and always stayed active.
Oh, that's very nice. Both of my grandparents died in their, grandfathers, I mean, died in their 50s, I think it was. But one of them got me hooked on hunting and fishing anyway kind of thing, so that was kind of nice. I got to do some of that with them.
Well, when I was a kid, I had a model railroad, so it was myself, my younger brother, and my father. And, you know, we have friends of the family come over, and we work on, you know, my layout downstairs in the basement, which was huge. And then another weekend, we go over to somebody else's house and work on that layout, and go somewhere else and work on another layout. So, you know, I grew up around model trains. And train chasing, as we called it when I was a kid, where we go and follow a line, you know, like Southern Pacific, Union Pacific, and just follow it here and there, you know, in the state or whatever. Now I'm in amateur radio and computers and electronics.
Yeah, my grandfather had a train deal that he set up under the Christmas tree every year. And I would go over there and stay with them early when they were first setting things up for the Christmas get-together kind of thing, and help them set up his little train there. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, I had more than that. I had depots. I had two different rail yards. What did I have? Oh, I had brass engines, you know, locomotives. I had locomotives, I had diesel, you know, diesel electrics, as they call them. Oh, I had box cars, coil cars, pole cars. I had a whole bunch of stuff.
Holy cow, that sounds awesome. A kid could get lost in there forever. We just had a little thing that went around the bottom of the Christmas tree there. Very tiny. I think they had another piece of plywood with a little something set up on it kind of thing, but that didn't come out of the attic very often.
Oh, no. I mean, he built, my dad was kind of like an engineer. He could look at a building and then design it from balsa wood and then build it to scale. Very detailed on that. I think that's where some of my detail orientation came from. But, yeah, I mean, I had little buildings that had lights in them, and I had switching units and different tracks and traffic, you know. The signals, the red and green and the yellow signals and switches. Oh, yeah, it was an HO scale, so it was pretty substantial. And it had a mountain and trestles. I miss it. I miss it a lot.
Oh, yeah, I get it. I can understand why. I worked for my brother-in-law for a while as an architect, and every so often he'd have to do the same thing, make a model of whatever he was designing kind of thing, and I was pretty impressed with all the detail.
Oh, yeah, I have little village people, you know, that you had to paint the faces on them with, you know, like a... you know, a model paintbrush, but it only had one little whisker, you know, to do the small details and stuff. My mother used to do that with jeweler's glasses on. And, oh, yeah, it was, why they call it a model railroad, because you literally run it like a railroad. So you have a manifest where you you know, go down the track, you go to the yard, you pick up certain stock, and then you drop off stock, and you go to your next area and drop off stock and pick up stock. You know, so it's quite expensive.
Holy cow, that sounds pretty nice. It sounded like you had the whole family involved in that. That's kind of cool. Ours was, we just had, like I said, that little thing, and me and grandfather, you know, you could set it up in less than a couple hours kind of thing, but it was still kind of fun.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, you never drive a rail train, so, you know, get a scale model and mess around with that. There's one in Mount Clemens. I can't think of where the one is. There's one in Detroit, I think. But the newer model railroads now, you can run multiple engines, I guess you can say, on the same track, where the stuff that I had back in the 80s, you can only run one at a time. Because it was AC, but you can adjust the speed and you have to stop, switch, you know, flip the switch, reverse it, and all that other stuff. You have a couple switches and some knobs and change the track switching. But you can only run one train on that track at a time. Now, the way everything is now, it's DCC, and it's digital controlled, and it's really, really neat.
Holy cow, that sounds pretty involved. I didn't think it'd be possible to put two different locomotives on the same track there. I wonder if they're doing the same thing with slot cars.
Oh, I'm sure there's newer technology out there. Like I said, no, I mean, there's, you know, the trains not only just have the motor in it for the gears, but there's a circuit board in there, has an ID on it, it's radio controlled. I mean, it's ridiculous on what you can do. And like I said, you're running like a model railroad, so you have a dispatcher giving you your manifest, there's computer programs for it, you know, and logs and tracking cars and engines. Oh, it's crazy. I mean, you can really get into it. And most of the model railroad clubs are a bunch of, you know, retirees.
I'll be darned. That just blows me away how far they come. it sounds kind of fun, but I got too many expensive hobbies already.
I 100% agree on that. I have ham radio now, so I'm always on the radio when I'm driving, and when I go home, I got my DMR set up on my network. I got GMRS. I got a coworker that's, you know, probably about a half mile ahead of me. He's on GMRS with me. So I always have a radio somewhere, and as you can see, I love to talk. And I do this. You know, I'm amateur radio. I do ARPS, which is the Amateur Radio Public Service Corps for Macomb. I am the chairperson of the Planning Commission for my small 1 square mile town, and I used to do a lot of announcing for horse shows. So I did that too. Now I'm getting back into that. I got one in like 2 weeks. I got two shows I got to do. KUTKKO for ID.
KUTKOJ. Well, sir, I am honored to know you, or to know of you, be an acquaintance and speak with you. I got a lot of respect for people that spend their time with, like, the ARPSC and all that other stuff. I kind of wanted to get into some of that myself, but I'm not healthy enough for that.
Hey, having a base station at your home and just talking on the radio, I mean, that's entertaining. I don't have the time to do that, nor the finances to, you know, and I have this weird thing about drilling holes in my house.
Four is ZYQ.
Four is ZYQ.
Hey, Joe. Good afternoon. And, yeah, I know what you mean. I got in trouble, too, for the hole I had to poke to get my KMR 400 out the basement. Joe, go ahead.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. This is KE4ZYQ on the home base unit. Just been less than a couple minutes after eating dinner. And good evening. And I couldn't help but want to interject when Rick was talking about getting old and all that stuff earlier in the conversation. I went to my doctor a few days ago and asked him how everything turned out, if I got a lot of arthritis. He says, no, you got early onset rigor mortis. Over to the other gentleman.
It's your turn.
Oh, okay. I passed it over to him, but when he said gentleman, it threw me off. I was pretty sure he wasn't talking to me.
Yeah, but I forgot your name. I thought it was Rick. It's something else, though. And then, you know, so forgive me if it's the wrong name.
Yeah, my older brother used to have one of those Lionel trains, and he had a cattle car one that vibrates, and the cattle come out of the car onto the ground or the floor. And that was a one-car track system. Over to you, Rick.
Oh, you guys are killing me. You're getting me all hopped up here wanting to get a train set now. Oh, my. It never ends.
Yeah, but what is your name? Is it Rick, or what is it? Like I said, I forgot. I talked to you on different occasions.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. It's Rick, yep. And I kind of lost a little bit of what you said there because the DMR come busting over top of everybody.
SK4ZYQ, I didn't hear the name of the other fellow there. I know Rick, but I didn't recognize the voice of the other one.
Tango Oscar Mike, call sign, Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar, Cujo.
Tom.
I remember that movie, boy. That was one of the first movies that really kind of spooked me a little bit.
Well, you guys go back to it. I just thought I'd drop in with my corny dad joke about rigor mortis. So, 7-3, talk to you another time there, Rick and Tom, I think it was. Have a good travels home there, Tom. KE4ZYQ, over to you.
Yo, are you part of, you're part of ARPS, aren't you?
I'm not sure what you're asking there, KE4ZYQ, back in.
Yeah, K4QIQ. Well, you're over there in Clinton Township, if I'm correct, or is it a different show that I'm thinking of?
You got that right, Clinton Township, Attic Antenna, Comet GP3, get on here, Macomb County, and some of the other nets and different things, Roger. I think Rick and I know each other pretty well so far. But Tom, I've heard you out there. I just don't recognize your voice yet. Over to you, Rick.
Yeah, Tom was just asking you if you were part of ARCS, amateur radio. Oh, shoot, I forgot the acronym now. it's Public Service Corps.
Let's just say I check into multiple nets, whether I'm a member of something or not. I try to check into the nets for numbers and keeping the allocations, the frequencies, and the privileges. But I'm not part of any group per se, let alone club. If that answers your question there, Tom.
Hey, KK Joe. Yep, it does. Just I know there's another Joe with the ARPS group.
So, Tom, I'm curious, what do you guys do at the meetings? It's kind of interesting there. I was attend some of them over here in Oakland County there by the county courthouse there, but it's in a locked building. You know, they invite people to come and sit in on the meetings, but nobody can get in. So it makes it a little difficult.
Well, our amateur public radio service corps. Like I said, I've only been in it for a few months. But it involves community assistance, more or less. So how we have our P25 and our radio systems for, you know, for emergency services and first responders and things. So if there was an issue with that, then depending on your level of clearance, I guess you could say, the emergency coordinator from Macomb County would contact you and deploy you to a site, whether it be transporting water to different sites, or there's amateur radio stations in a better majority of the hospitals, and you could be assigned to a hospital and work with that radio with the medical personnel to communicate any information that is needed throughout the county. So that's kind of what ARPSE does. Oakland County ARPS right now is, they work the Woodward Dream Cruise and assist there with communication, you know, amateur radio operators. So it's pretty cool. It's like CERT or OXCOM, if you've ever heard of that. There's different types of groups in the county. Warren has their own CERT, and they help out the city of Warren first responders and emergency services for the city.
Thomas, you probably heard me on one of the nets where they had a net for one of that calling in system. So I might have been on one of those nets for the local counties and all. Already rep from KE4ZYQ.
Yeah, I was going to mention the, I think it's twice a year, they have that simulated emergency test there. I usually like to listen in on that and see what's going on and how things work. It's pretty interesting. I'm impressed that all these people would volunteer their time and efforts and radios to be helpful. It's awesome. PEWOJ, Friday.
And that's exactly what ARPS does. The set that they do twice a year, that's exactly what it's all about. Being at a location and making sure that their communication is between different operators, relay stations, base stations, net operations control, everything like that. It's similar to Skywarn. You hear Skywarn, there's one person that operates the Skywarn net, and then you have various people like myself, certified spotters, or trained weather spotters, and we report into the net for our county from Macomb, or yours would be Oakland, and you give your report of what you see at the location that you are at, and then they take that information and they relay that to KADTX in White Lake, Michigan on another frequency.
I took a training online or Zoom or something, I can't remember, but for the spotter one. And you both know about all the the first Saturday of the month when they do a lot of ham groups do siren testing. But I got my spotter class verification here, as you might know there, Tom, since you're in Macomb County like me. Over to you, Rick.
Yeah, I got in on the siren testing for a while there, and but my car don't have air conditioning, and it was getting pretty hot. And to be honest with you, even that little bit of running over to a siren and checking it out and calling it in was kind of wearing me right out. So I had to give it up. But I enjoyed being able to use the radio for some kind of good. Tom, go ahead.
That's exactly what it's all about. Is, you know, helping our community or helping other operators out or just communications like we're talking here. If something came through, we do that, you know, even though it's amateur radio, if there's an emergency, they pop in there and do their standard break kind of thing and explain it. That's why it's always good to leave a pause. I try to in between transmissions, so if anybody needs a break, they can. Tune out to a KCKGO for an idea.
I try to remind some folks sometimes politely and courtesy-wise to leave pauses when we're talking with a bunch of people, but because you never know, somebody in a car or at home, that might be their only communication after a heart attack or accident on the road or whatever. They could have been listening without talking, and they're laying in a car and they got their radio going. So I know of, you may know, Tom, but I think Rick knows, there was one ham that a while back after Ned had a diabetic reaction and fell off the chair and was blind, and that guy was saved by a ham radio operator. But anyhow, let's see. Goes over to you, Rick.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I recently got, a couple of days ago, I got a clear note, and I was talking to some guys in Manchester, England, and then listening, and one guy came on, and he was talking about the same kind of situation. Apparently, something happened to the fellow, and he had a guy, and he had the mic in his hand, and he just started kind of hollering out from help, and just a whole pile of people came to the rescue kind of thing and got him the help he needed, apparently just in time. K8WOJ, Tom.
Just like they used to say back in the old days, you can outrun a cop, you can outrun his radio. So I keep minding my man all the time and keep in touch where I can and make sure I have communication somewhere, wherever I'm at. And lately, at least it's the Detroit area, but I do travel the state on occasion. All right, Joe.
KE4ZYQ. Well, you know what's very heartwarming, and I mean this sincerely, is having a radio system, ham radio, different channels, different bands, different radios, handheld, mobiles, whatever, base station. And if the whole grid goes down, there's no cell phones, there's no landlines, there's a lot of chaos in the world or in the country or the state, hopefully, if there's no EMTs or EMPs, that there's radio communications, because that may be the only thing you got in this day and age. If you got backup battery power, as we all know is necessary if the grid goes down. Over to you, Rick.
Well, that's exactly why I was getting off of analog and onto WiresX, C4FM, and dipping my toes into DMR and now All-Star. Figure if something goes wrong, maybe I can be of help, or maybe I can at least figure out what's going on by what's happening on the radio. Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, same here. I mean, I got my dual band analog that I'm on here, and then right now my DMR UHF is at the doctor's office getting a little bit of TLC, but I always have one or two handhelds in my van. So if I'm away from my van, I still have a radio to hit a repeater somewhere.
Tom, I think Rick knows about this, but I was just talking about radios. I don't know, Tom, if you know that I bought back in the 60s, maybe? 70s? Maybe the 60s. A Radio Shack HT. It's the HTX 202, 2 meter only, handheld, and smart enough, well, I was lucky enough, to buy a battery pack that you can put double A's in it, rather than just the rechargeable ones that never last over time. But I fired that thing up briefly today, I turned it on, and boy, does that thing, it's a brick in your hand, because it's an old-fashioned, almost like the old police radios, a brick size. But it does work with its original antenna and all. I had to put a backup battery in it because it wouldn't work, so I had to tear it down, you know, a year ago or so, put a button-type battery for the memory. Over to you, Rick, from KE4ZYQ.
Yeah, I heard a break in there. Go ahead, break, and then pass it over to Tom, if you would.
I'm going to jump out of here for a couple minutes, guys. I got a co-worker who's on the GMRS on my other radio. I'll be back, KCKU.
7-3 for now there, Tom. And that breaking station, if you're hearing us at all or hearing me, very distorted, broken up, didn't understand a word of the transmission over here. Pass it over to you, Rick, and maybe the fellow can try again.
Yeah, the only thing I heard out of the first transmission from him was a little piece of a Radio Shack, so I think he was commenting about your radio, but I couldn't, that was about all I could pull out of it.
All we got there was a key, but no audio. Well, Mr. Rick, good to hear you guys. I'll talk to you later. I got to go. KE4ZYQ.
Okay, Joe. Have a good one. Catch you later. DAWJ.
Where did all this traffic come from?
Tom, was that you? KEWOJ.
Yeah, Rick, that was me, but I'll be back in a second. I'm on the phone. KCKQ.
KF8ESV.
KF8EAT.
KE8RUH.
KF8EAT monitoring the channel.
WD8KLL. KF8EAT.
Yeah, I see.
I'm on the porch with HT, but even my base doesn't seem to make it to Mount Clemens. I don't know why. I can't get very far in that direction.
Hey, WRO. I'm over here, Tom.
Okay. Got you, Tim.
Rick, this is Tim, Tango India Mike, NAWRO, and I think Tom's back over here. Go ahead, Rick.
Hey, Tim, nice to meet you. This is Rick, K-A-W-O-J. I'm over here in West Bloomfield, just a little kind of southwest of Pontiac.
Okay, so you're bouncing off a Phil's repeater then.
Yes, sir, exactly.
Well, Tom and I just left our meeting, so we're headed home north.
I was just going to ask about that, how the meeting went. Boy, that was a long one, I guess.
Yeah, Lance Cruz, I think it was John or Ron from Lance Cruz ARC, brought all his equipment that he uses for fox hunting and was showing us how to do it, because there's a fox hunt coming up on July 26th, and it seems pretty interesting. Go ahead, Tim.
Quite amazing, all the equipment he had, the homebrewed equipment too, handheld directional antennas and a lot of advice and guidance on how to find the little fox transmitter. Go ahead, Rick.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun, actually, and I imagine they got antennas like that, what was his name, Captain Don, talking with the satellites there, that little handheld kind of a beam antenna, I suppose. That stuff's kind of very interesting there. I don't know how you track a satellite by hand, though, but he seems to do it pretty well.
WHCPT, Captain Don. Yes, I have one of those arrow beam antennas that's sitting upstairs. I don't know how good it will do for a fox hunt, but it is a 2 meter 440 duplex, and I was messing around with it with my ICOM HD, just seeing if I could hear anything on VHF off of one of the satellites. And you got to know the trajectory and the azimuth and the downlink frequency and the uplink frequency, and it gets pretty complex. I still have a class with him that I have to get over to his house and learn how to do that.
Yeah, I was talking to the presenter tonight just a little bit about that as well. And Yeah, it's something he didn't get into, but it's similar because it's directional finding. It's just a lot different distances, that's all.
So you guys all start out in the same spot sort of thing and just start swinging beams around or antennas around and trying to figure out the direction and zero in on it? Do they stay within the county or it sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, there is a radio pattern to it. Like you said, is the Fox is usually the aerial that is accessible to the public. And then you want to go, and then you start looking for the signal. You team up and drive around, and you get closer and closer. And the guy that presented today was like one of the top Fox hunters in the club. So I said, yeah, it was really interesting. Kind of neat too. Go ahead, Tim.
Tom, I'm not sure what direction you're coming home, but ambulance coming down Gratiot right now, so be careful there. But yeah, it's going to be up at Stony Creek and starting the vehicle first, and then I'm not exactly sure how this is going to work for us because we don't have any of that equipment, so we just got to use our HTs and taking the antennas off and hopefully getting it pinpointed to where we jump out of the car. And then track it down. It's going to be fun. It'll be the first time for pretty much all of us, I think.
Well, good luck, fellas. I would think that would be awful difficult. It seemed like once you got within a mile of that thing, it'd be hard to tell what direction it was coming from, or at least for me, anyway.
Well, there's a trick to it.
Copy that, Tom. I switched to Richmond. Let me know if this is good. But, Rick, apparently you take the antenna off your HD and you put your body in between where you do a 360 and, you should hear the signal attenuate. But we'll find out. It'll be the first time for me.
I got you. that sounds pretty interesting. It'd be nice to be able to have that equipment there and chase down all these people that are wandering around, stepping on people on some of the other repeaters. I guess it hasn't been in a while. It's a month or so ago. It seemed like there was a rash of it going on.
If you're talking about over the weekend, I happen to be on the FBI Richmond repeater in Wayne County. ARPS was doing a repeater crawl, which I thought was pretty cool. So, if you heard a lot of bouncing around there, that was a lot of the ARPS members from Wayne County were doing repeater calls through Oakland, Wayne, and Macomb County. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah,
you did mention something about that, too, possibly in the future, but the other thing he wants us to going with the hospital nets that you know about and start doing simplex. Get off these repeaters and see how far we can reach from our QTHs and see, we're kind of dependent on the repeaters and we want to try just more of a simplex and see what kind of a baseline we can have.
I kind of missed the last part of that, Tim. A heck of a noise came over top of you there. But, yeah, every Friday night, Keith, K-D-A-Z-S-K, runs a repeater crawl. It's called the Wayne County, but he goes all over the place. Wayne, Washington, Oakland County. And I think it's sometimes in Macomb, too. But that's a lot of fun, and they purposely make a stop on Simplex and then record who they could talk to and how far they could get kind of thing. It's kind of helpful to some of the new folks and figuring out who you could actually make contact with and couldn't.
Flaggers are gone, thank goodness, after 9.
Well, you guys, I'm surprised. You guys are coming in pretty good over here for as far east as you are.
That's my contribution. I love the solder.
about you guys? I'm hearing a little noise come in through every now and then. I don't know exactly what that is, but Rick.
Yeah, I was going to ask you guys if you could hear that. It's quite loud over here.
I'm on the Mount Clemens Tower. Jim, I think it's coming in off of Richmond, but I'm not on Richmond yet. I'm at 26 and Romeo Plank. But I can key over there in a couple minutes.
It's just intermittent. Every now and then a little burst comes in like that, so not sure. Don't remember hearing that.
Yeah, I seem to remember about a month or so ago, Sean was chasing down this same thing. It was the same noise he was looking for. I can't remember where. I think he zeroed in into somewhere, but I just don't remember where it was. The old mind don't remember like it used to.
We're all at that age where our only thought is an afterthought.
I, of course, don't have the dashboard with me in here in the mobile, but I wonder if that's coming off of Warren.
That's quite a doozy wherever it's coming from. But when it hits, it kind of covers you guys right up.
Clear right now, Tom. I just turned the corner in Main Street, Richmond. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, I hear both of you pretty good, and the noise came in there, but it wasn't near as strong.
I guess I'm getting close to the home QTH, so I'm going to sign. Rick, a pleasure meeting you. I forgot your full call sign, so this will be N8WRO. Go ahead, Rick. Tom, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, Jim, nice talking with you and meeting you. I hope we get to speak again. Have a good night and be careful out there. T8WOJ. Tom, you're not even home yet, so it's going to be a bit before you get home, and then you got to get up and go to work in the morning. What time you got to get up in the morning?
Technically, I don't start work until 10 o'clock. My hours are 10 a.m. to 6:30 p.m., but it's just been kind of quiet in the field recently. I'm up between 6 and 7:30 every day.
I know another group of fellas I usually talk to in the morning. We have a little round table on their way to work, and that's at 5 a.m. So they're up and, showered and dressed and all that before that. So I think the three of them get to bed pretty early. I got to tell you, I'm all wore out just listening to all the stuff you're into. We had a neighbor lived out in the Lakeville Leonard area there, and we had a neighbor that had Arabian horses, and she used to go off to shows, and they'd take me with them to just help them and get out of the country there and have a little fun at some of those shows. And it was quite interesting. I was impressed.
Call
called them yesterday. I'm getting a lineup today. They're like 123, you're up, 225 on deck. 652 is in the hole, and 525 is thinking about it. They knew exactly where to sit, where to go, and be ready to go when I called them.
Yeah, I would definitely get tongue-tied trying that. Heck, I was nervous when I first got my license here just for ham radio.
And I was just like you when I first got mine in 1998. I said my first contact. He was my first contact. That was Walt. Everybody knew Walt. WB80, he's a silent key now, but he just told me, he said, you just go with the flow. You'll find your niche, I guess you can say, on what makes you comfortable. And everybody here on the FBI repeater even made it even more comfortable. And, I've just been growing ever since. And before even the call sign comes out, you know who's on the radio, because just the distinctive persona and the way they are on the radio, we just know who it is before you even get their call sign.
Yeah, I remember Walt. I used to hear him all the time on the West Bloomfield repeater over here, and darn if he didn't make me hungry all the time, because he was always talking about food. Really good food, too.
Like the conversations on FBI, I mean, we're talking about food, or we're talking about, the weather. I mean, it's just, it's a great roundtable, and everybody on here is just totally awesome. That's that. You know what's wrong, because it's something that happened during the day, and he's done with it.
Yeah, he scared the heck out of me one night. I bought two Bofangs just so I could learn how to, before I had my license, so I could learn how to program them and listen to the repeaters and see what the etiquette was like and all this kind of thing. And I stepped out of the room there to go get a pop or something out of the fridge. And when I came back in, it was probably about this time of night. And when I came back in, Walt was on there, and he was making fun of them. They were making a big deal on the news about 2 inches of snow or something like that. And he was like, oh, help me. Oh, how's the ambulance going to get to me in all this blizzard snow kind of news? He was making a joke, picking on him. I didn't know that. And I was freaked out, man. I didn't know whether I should jump on the radio or whatever. So I did. I jumped on the radio. I said, man, are you all right? Can I do something? Can I call somebody for you or whatever? And he said, no, I'm fine. I'm just poking fun at them, you know. And then I told him, well, I got to get off here because I don't have a license. I thought you were in trouble.
I think you heard Wally earlier today, WBD, you know, he was supposed to get the arch meeting and it goes, but I forgot today is a certain day. And I'm like, what? You know, like, you forget your brain or something at home. You know, little sarcastic comments that we always say to each other. So, no, today is the day that him and his wife first met. So he was taking her out for their anniversary dinner for the day they first met. And I was helping him pick out restaurants. And then, of course, if we rated the restaurant on which one was better. You know, then the conversation just goes from there.
Oh, my, that's a very considerate thing. I bet his wife was all happy and tickled about that. K-E-8-W-O-J, and that noise is back and pretty strong.
Got the tail squelch kind of lingering there. Probably one of the connections between Richmond and Warren, somewhere in there, Richmond and Bloomfield. It'll
but I'm always amazed at how much time and energy they have to put into it, kind of thing. You would think, I used to think they just, they threw the equipment up, plugged it in, and away you go, kind of thing. But they're always tweaking and doing something with it.
Welcome to the world of ham radio and electronics.
Yeah, I like it. I'm always listening. I'm always learning something listening to you guys. I was joking around to Sean, calling it the FBI University.
Exactly. I mean, everybody learns something.
Yeah, I just got a clear node Tuesday, and I don't know nothing about All-Star. So it's I'm going through quite a learning experience here, and I don't have a lot of hair to pull out as it is. So luckily, I guess it's going okay. I was talking to Manchester, England there, so I guess it's kind of working. I don't know if it's working right, but it's kind of working. You still there at the time? You okay? You didn't hear it hit a deer or nothing, did you?
Oh, no, I'm still here. I probably didn't wait for the repeater. I keep forgetting. Usually I do a 1 or 2 second pause before I talk, because I know the repeater's got a key up and linking to all the others. And I forgot about it. But no, I'm still here. Because I have 6.7 miles to home, which is 9 minutes, and I have 8 miles to empty, so I'm going to have a month left in my fuel tank, but done it before.
Holy cow. I'm amazed you could keep that close of track to know you make it. I'd be sweating bullets.
My coworker got me out of that. I was always like, I need gas. And he goes, dude, he says, when you hit zero, when you hit 0 miles, doesn't mean you're totally empty. You usually have like a half a gallon to a gallon left. You know, there's always a reserve. And so I pulled into a gas station and it said 0 miles for like a mile. And filled the tank up, and I had the 15-gallon tank, and I put in 14 and a half gallons, so it goes to tell you that, yeah, there's a reserve in there.
Yeah, I kind of do the same thing, but I drive kind of a little car that's pretty good on gas mileage, so I don't really worry about it. But with a truck full of tools and stuff, that might be a whole different story.
Well, a truck full of tools, equipment, computers. I got a box of radios that weighs probably about 40 pounds. I weigh 180, so that's another bit of weight. And then, of course, the metal shelving and everything has another 900 pounds. So, yeah, I'm going to have it, but just by the performance that it's getting. So, I've settled down a little bit. It says 4.7 miles till home. But there's a gas station right on the corner, and I got 6 miles, so I'll make it.
Yeah, and if I remember right, you're hauling around a bunch of batteries in there, too, if I remember right.
Yeah, I have a 17-amp-hour battery that sits in the center. And that's probably about 5 pounds, and then I got a box of 17-amp-hour batteries. It's 20 pounds, so I got 30 pounds of batteries, guesstimated.
Break, NHWRO.
Go ahead, Tim. KJO.
Just thought I'd jump in on the bass to see how the bass is sounding tonight. Over to you, Rick.
She's just sounding good. It sounds like you're on the porch with me here.
Yeah, clear as a bell, Rick. Coming up. Jeez, I'm almost beginning late on 88. Yeah, I'd say we call that a 5-9, sir.
Now that's what I like to hear. I did turn the mic gain up on this one. This is the newer one. This is the Yaesu FTM-150R with the ASP suffix on it for the digital enhancement. I should probably turn that on and see what that does one of these days. KE8WOJ, over to you, NAWRO.
Yeah, ASP, if I remember right, that's automatic signal processing or something like that. I think my 991 Atrocity has the same similar deal on it, I think. I haven't used that thing in a while. KE8WOJ, Tom, go ahead.
Hey, Tim, are you able to pull up the dashboard and see where that tail squelch is coming from? I wonder if it's coming off of 500 on fills.
Oh, shoot, I didn't turn on the dashboard. So let me turn on that dashboard now, and I'll be looking by the time it comes back around.
I'm kind of thinking you might be right, Tom, because it's really loud over here.
Yeah, because it's not all the time. It's just like every other transmission kind of thing. And it just pops up out of nowhere. So we'll see what Tim sees. KCKJO.
You are correct, sir. When you were transmitting there, it didn't cover you up, but it was definitely the West Bloomfield is the source. So that's interesting. We'll have to let Sean know.
Oh, that explains why it's so loud over here. That's the one I'm on. It's about a mile and a half down the road.
Yeah, it could be something like that. A remote transmit module. So that's probably what it is. It might be sticking for some reason. Probably just with the reboot. Still, we'll probably hear it tomorrow on the morning roundtable.
Live on the 2.6. KE4ZYQ, good evening, gentlemen. And I use that term loosely. Over to you, Rick.
Hey, Joe, I thought I recognized that voice. I'm not sure where it goes. I think I've been passing it to Tom.
It's my turn, but I am a 700 feet from my house. How does that sound for GPS coordinates? And then I'm going to jump inside, get me some food, and then sit back and relax and try to watch some boob tube before I pass out on the couch. So I'm going to say 73 to all, and I will talk to everybody on the phone. Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar, and as always, Cujo's out.
Have a good one, Tom. We'll talk later. NAWRO. Joe, go ahead. I think you're up next. KE4ZYQ from November 8, Whiskey Romeo Oscar, Richmond.
Yeah, KE4ZYQ. I got a stopwatch going to see how often this thing happens. Of course, I can't do it when I'm talking. See if it's a regular basis or timing or whatever. So far, 44 seconds. Over to you, Rick.
7-3, Tom. Have a good one there, and don't forget to get gas before you leave the house in the morning. you'll be stuck somewhere. KEAWOJ. Tim.
So, Joe, you got a dashboard open, too. You seeing the same thing I'm seeing, that occasionally the West Bloomfield keys up and just obviously it's sending the noise. Over to Joe.
KU4ZYQ. No, Tim, I was just timing in between the burst. I was trying to time it. If it's a regular time, you know, a certain amount of time in between, no matter who keys or where. But I definitely hearing it over here. Definitely almost washing everybody out when it does do the burst. Let's see, over to you, Rick.
Yeah, it was getting kind of bad for a while there. I was kind of covering up Tom and Tim both when they were when the three of us were on there. I was just about to say, well, I'm going to get out of here, and then it kind of let up a little bit, thank God. Tim, go ahead.
Okay, yep, there he goes. It's happening right now. That's definitely West Bloomfield, because I got it on the dashboard here. For whatever that may be worth, I'm sure Phil take a look at it tomorrow. So, gentlemen, I'm going to sign. Joe, good to actually have a QSO with you. I've monitored and listened to you, and I'm on that ARPIS net, too, and the Skywarn net. I hear you out there all the time. So I'm going to turn it over to Joe, KE4ZYQ. Rick, you're KE8WOJ. Pleasure to meet you tonight as well. This is N8. WRO, I will be out, listening out after your guys' final.
Tim, I appreciate the flowers and hearing you guys out there and just jumping in. That's what the ham radio is about, sharing a few moments here and there, whatever. But thanks a lot. Good to hear everyone out there. Be able to talk for a little while. Been a couple weeks since I haven't been doing too good, so. And I'm sure Rick can relate. Over to you, Rick. And I'll say 7-3 to all two, and I'll listen out. Over to you, Rick. KE8WOJ in the group. KE4ZYQ.
Okay, 7-3, Tim. And again, nice talking with you. I hope we get to do it again. And Joe, always good talking with you, too. You guys have a good, safe night and a safe day tomorrow. We'll catch you later. Kilo Echo 8, Whiskey Oscar Delia, and I'll be clear. WD8KLL KF8 DIC.